And in the second part of that scripture, because I don't want no one to misunderstand the promises of God. He is not saying that he won't put more on you than what we can bear. Matter of fact, let me be honest with you. He wants to break us because we think we can handle it. And he wants us to get to the place to recognize we can't handle it, but he can. The second part of that scripture says, wherewith he will make a way of escape. And Jesus is the way of escape. He wants us not to be strong in ourselves, but to be strong in him. Hallelujah. See, because some of us are too strong in ourselves. And you won't see the power of God. You won't see the deliverance of God. Because instead of depending on him, you depend on you. I'm so glad God broke me and is still breaking me. Because in the breaking, you see Jesus. Is anybody in the house ever seen Jesus and recognize your strength, your health, your healing, your peace, your joy comes from him. Comes from him. Oh, it's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He's faithful. Say that with me. He's faithful. He's faithful. In every circumstance, he is faithful. Oh, Father, even now, teach us not to lean on our own strength. Teach us that it's you, Lord, in everything, through everything, about everything. You have to be our source. So, Lord, we lean in now. We lean into your anointing, into your power, as we look at your precious, mighty word. Even now, Lord, speak. Hide me behind your Shekinah glory and help us to see Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We give God praise. Those that have joined us, for those in the house, hallelujah. We are on the 24th sermon of this series of deconstructing our idols so that Christ may be resurrected in our lives. Paul, again, is at the most personal ladder, the most personal, his heart, the core of who he is found here. Don't have to stand up for the reading. I'm going to read, then I'm going to stop, then I'm going to exegese, amen? And it reads as such in our hearing. For my determined purpose is to know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and more deeply, intimately acquainted with my Lord. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person. Notice he's not talking about church. He says, more strongly and more clearly, and that I may know in that same way to come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection power, which is exerted over us. Say, I got power in Jesus. I got power in Jesus. And that I may also share in his sufferings as being continually transformed in spirit into his likeness of his death and in hope. Stop there just for a moment. He is saying that the object of God's goal is to bring out of us what we've been created to be. There's a saying, living my best life. You are not living your best life till you discover who you are in Christ. And there's a progressive becoming, because God has made us his workmanship. We really don't understand it's a big deal. We really don't understand the love, the work, the what God has planned for you and I, not just down here, but up there. But watch this. To the degree we allow him to work down here is the degree that we are positioned up there. Paul caught this. He saw it. And the motivation of his heart was not to be liked by folks, not to fit in with the clique, not to be who we think we are. Well, this is who I am. You don't know who you are. You are believing a lie from the devil, because we should be constantly becoming more like Christ, that we look more like him, act more like him, and beginning to change. That there ought to be a changing in you, that people that knew you when don't know you no more. There ought to be such a degree of changing that folks would say, I see Christ in you. And if folks are not saying that about us, then maybe there's something wrong. That's his goal. That's his objective. That's what God is trying to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are his workmanship, that he is like an expert diamond maker, craft maker, and he wants to show you and I off to the world that the way we live, the way we live our life, they would say, I see Christ. He must be real. There must be a God somewhere. And watch, we will only grow as much as we allow him to work. That we participate, we work with him as we fall in love with him. You know, so somebody said, well, I'm not in love with him. Well, first you gotta let him love you. No doubt that he loves us. Do you have a vision of where God is taking you, of what God wants you to look like? Listen to Proverbs. It says, for are we who have no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, and I would say ourselves in God, we perish. He said, you're running and you don't know what you're running after. You're chasing and you're settling for Satan's crumbs. We are in deception, because Satan, the same old lie, he makes us not trust God. But you know why he gives the same lie? Because it still works. If a lie is working for you, why would you change it? He's told Adam and Eve, he's holding back on you. You need to go do your own thing and find out who you are yourself. Look deep within yourself and do your own thing. And mankind ever since lost their way. God is calling us back. He made us to be his children. He made us to look like him, to be like him. And Paul sees it, and the motivation of his heart is, what I see is greater than anything I have ever seen before. What I'm receiving from him is better than anything this old earth could ever give me. So even though I go through trials and tribulation, what I'm receiving from him is better than what I'm giving up. So I said, so he is chasing Christ and himself in Christ for himself, because what he recognized, what God has for him, is better than anything this old world can give him. My question is when are we going to quit settling for crumbs? You know what I believe it is? We don't trust his heart towards us. We trust what Satan said is good more than we trust what God says is good. We trust that instant gratification is better than waiting on God to make a way out of nowhere. He said, taste and see that is good. Is there anybody in the house tasted to see that God is good? That you know for yourself that God is good. Jeremiah 29. Now listen, he is speaking to them while they are in captivity. And the reason why they're in captivity is because they left him. He says in Jeremiah 2, he said, I am appalled. I'm offended. You left me the living fountain. He said, I'm like a fountain that springs up out of the ground. You don't even have to take a bucket and get it. I'm springing up to give you what you need. I'm the source of your satisfaction. I'm the source of your love. I will meet you where you are and take you where you need to be. And instead of coming to me and drink free, you have left me and went to wells that has no water. So here they are, the children of Israel, got all this history of how good God is. This history of what he's done. This history of how he fought their battles. This history of how he kept them and brought them and made a way out of nowhere. But wait a minute. They just don't have a story. We got a story. I know you got a story because you haven't made it this far by yourself. It's been the goodness of God. Some of you have been helped by him. Some of you got out of trouble by him. Some of us should have been dead, sleeping in our grave, but God stepped in and made a way out of nowhere. If anybody ought to praise him, it ought to be us. Hallelujah. At home, you should have a story. And he said, wasn't I good? Didn't I do it right on time? Didn't I make a way out of nowhere? See, I may not know your story, but you got to have a story. He's been better than good. Can you say that to your neighbor? He's been better than good. He's been better than good. That is really what's done to provoke us. To provoke us to chase him like Paul. Go back to Philippians. And he says, I am being constantly transformed. You know what he's saying? The more I chase him, stuff is falling off. He said, yeah, I used to be caught up in all that. And I still may not be all that God wants me to be. But the more I set my heart on him, the more I read the word, the more I find him in prayer, the more I feel different on the inside, the more I sense his joy and his peace. We ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the earth. I just read a study that said children laugh 11 times more than most adults. So wonder Jesus wanted to hang with children. Me too. What happened? What took our joy? What made us take ourselves so seriously? All children want to know, can you play good? think the Lord is taking us back. Matter of fact, he said it. He said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like a child, because they believe that there's a connection there. I believe that they see things that we don't see, because their spirit is still connected. I think when they're younger, that there's a spiritual connection just by watching them and listening to them. I said, matter of fact, Paul said, God raised up in me what was in me from the beginning. It was already there. That acute knowledge, that conscience of the realness of God is in us. But many times what we do, we oppress it. We put it down. We're afraid of what somebody's going to think. You got to get to the place. I got to get to the place. We don't care what nobody else thinks. If it means that you got to walk by yourself, you walk by yourself. If it means that family don't like you, well, I love you from a distance. We need to be in pursuit of his love, of his grace, of his purpose. He said in Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans. I know my intent. I know. He said, you personally, not just collectively, but us personally, whether you know it or not, God has a personal interest in you. Isaiah 43 said, I called you by name. I was calling you by name. I didn't call you in a group. I called you personally. And when he's calling, he's calling us to the place that we were created to be. Listen to Paul. He says that if possible, I may attain the spiritual moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead. He said, look what he said, I've been caught up in dead stuff. I was chasing dead stuff. I thought I was making progress, but the more I chased it, the more I realized it didn't satisfy. Some of us keep doing the dead stuff over and over again and realize it's not my, when are we going to learn? When are we going to say, this doesn't do it for me? There's people committing suicide every single day. It's like every 5 minutes, every 2 minutes, somebody committing suicide. You know why? That which they were chasing didn't satisfy. It's getting worse. These young kids that want to go into school and shoot, you know what they're saying? They say, I'm giving up on life and I'm taking as many people with me as possible. That's the devil sucking the life, out of us. Was in a building, and this thing was flying around, and I hit it. It was a bat. Strangest thing. It scooted up under something, and all of a sudden, it scooted up front right so I could see the profile of it. Threw a towel on it, and I took it aside, and I threw it away. And somebody said, what type of bat was it? I said, huh? I said, I don't know, it was a bat. So they asked again, what type of bat was it? And I looked, because I saw the profile of it, I said, it's the bat that Batman, that type of, they went on their phone and they looked it up, they said, that was a vampire bat. It's unique in its profile. It's different in its profile. Now watch this. That bat was commanded by God to move forward so I could see it. God started working with me, and he said this. The Spirit of the Lord said that. He said, the devil is like a vampire. People will take on the characteristics of the devil, and he wants to suck the life out of you. Some of us right now, you're caught up in something, and it's sucking the life out of you. Vampire bat suck blood. Blood is the issue of life spiritually. The devil is a vampire. And unless you speak to the devil, command him to take his hands off of you, till you stand up in the name of Jesus, until you say no more, no more. Sometimes you got to speak into that situation. Matter of fact, you got to speak into that person. Do you know how many people Paul disappointed? Do you know how many times the life tried to kill him? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talked about being whooped with iron rods, being whooped, being stoned, being shipwrecked on the ocean all night. You know what the devil was trying to do? Quit. Let me just say this. The more committed you get to the Lord, the more problems going to come your way. But you know what? The joy he gives, the peace he gives. God all by himself will fill the room and you won't feel lonely. Oh, y'all need to hear this. Y'all need to hear this because the devil has stolen too much from all of us. We all need to get an attitude and say, no more, no more. No more. In the name of Jesus, I'm taking stuff off. I'm letting stuff go because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I've made up my mind I'm going to be all that he is calling me to be. Paul's in a fight. Listen, he said, my determined purpose, I have made up my mind I'm setting everything else aside because I see that what he has called me to be, what he wants me to be, what he wants to give me is better than anything this world has. Hold on. We're talking about a killer who killed Christians who was determined that he was going to stomp Christianity out. He was going to stomp out the name of Jesus. But once he saw Jesus, I think we need a higher view of Jesus and see how awesome he is, how loving he is, how gracious he is. Listen to Paul. He says, I want to be lifted up out. What I realized, you can't hold on to dead stuff and be lifted at the same time. You can't hold on to what you think you want. You can't hold on to what people said about you. There is a degree, and Paul says it, and he says it, forgetting, letting go, intentionally, not that you can forget, but you forgive. You let go. you set yourself free. I know the Bible says that God forgets, but what it means is he chooses not to remember. Listen. Yeah. He know you did it. Yeah. He know what we were. Yeah. He know all that. But watch this. He said, I turn from all that and I choose not to remember no more. Turn to your neighbor and say, God don't remember it. So why don't you let it go? There is a choosing in this journey with Jesus. Intentionally, you got to walk away. Intentionally, you got to let some people go. Intentionally, you got to say no. Intentionally, you got to shut your mouth. Intentionally, you got to close your ears. You listen, people won't quit messing with you, but you can walk away. People will always talk about you. You can quit listening. People are always going to bring you mess. You don't have to pick up the phone. Time is out for us to blame everybody else. You know what? Turn to you and I say this. You have the power of choice. I choose to have joy. I choose to have joy. You know what? When you wake up in the morning and you wake up on the bad side of the bed, start saying, thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Turn on a praise song to get your juices flowing. Listen, we got power to choose. God has given us everything we need. Listen, the devil can only talk to me if I be quiet and stop and listen. When he start talking to me, I start talking back. I know I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. He didn't have to save me, but he chose to pick me out. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. By the blood of Jesus Christ. When you do that, the devil will shut up. We have control of our thinking, of our attitude. Listen, I can't stop it from flying through, but I don't have to let it land. Which one of us will let a crow just land on top of our head and not wave it off? The devil is a crow. Ah! You're an eagle. Oh! You're an eagle. God, if you're saved, you're an eagle. He has changed the inside of you. Let me throw this at you. You are no longer a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're no longer a sinner saved by grace. Let me explain. When Adam sinned, the core of his being changed. God said, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. The core of what God made Adam and Eve to be died. Can I step into this a little bit more? In the Old Testament, it does not talk about their spirit. It talks about the spirit coming, giving them a new heart and a new spirit. But it doesn't talk about them, their spirit. Holy Spirit came on them, but not in them. You know what? They were spiritually dead. Why you think it's called born again? That which was but is not no more has come to restore what you lost. Hallelujah. Now watch this. So now when you are born again, the core of who you are come alive. That glove, I wish I had that glove. He enters into our life, and now you got the spiritual DNA of Jesus in you. And nothing that the devil can do about it. We are a new creation. In your core, all things have become new. In your core. The Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, work out your salvation. Not work for, but now that you got it, turn to somebody and say, I got it. If you know Jesus, you got it too. Whether you know it or not, you got it. Since you got it, why don't you work it? In the name of Jesus, work. Work it out. He's trying to bring out of us the essence of who he is, because he placed it in us. Because when he looks at us, he's not looking for good or bad. He's looking for his spirit. What a mighty God. Paul is saying, because I know this, and I know he took hold of me for me to become what he has called me to be. Hold on, let's stop right there. If that is true, it doesn't matter what the world does. If that is true, don't matter what the doctor says. If that is true, until God get ready for us, we're not going nowhere. Elaine Harper, Pastor Harper, why? They gave her one report. But God has given her another report. Don't tell me our God can't do it. Don't tell me my God is. I did not make up my mind to change. When he showed me himself, all I know is I started chasing him. And as I was chasing him, stuff started falling off. And there was a whole lot of stuff that needed to fall off. And there's still stuff falling off. But you know what? It wasn't my effort. It wasn't my strength. It's just I pursued Jesus. And the more I pursued him, my appetite changed. My want to change. Is there anybody else know what I'm talking about? That you're not what you used to be. You may not be what you're going to be, but in chasing him, he has changed you from inside out. Is there anybody know that my Jesus is real? Is there anybody want to testify that he has brought you a mighty long way? This supernatural change is so core that it can't be taken away. Even if you go back, if you really got him, you won't stay back there. Even if you go back, if you really know him, it's going to beat you. You can slip. There is backslide. But watch this. The Holy Spirit will work. Well, we got a different of opinions then. Because you can. And what he will do, you become so sick and tired that you will begin to say, Lord, restore back to me the joy of my salvation. God has a way of making you. And watch this. He is so good that if you make it back, you ain't going back there no more. Why? Because he, it'd be so hard. I don't know about you. I have taste and seen that the Lord is good. Not sometimes, but all the time. That ought to make us love him. Are you falling in love with Jesus? Are you discovering he loves you better than anybody else? Listen to Paul. Listen to Paul. He says, not that I am now attained what I see, or that I have already been made perfect, but I press. He says, this is intentional. He says, this takes effort. He said, I made up my mind. No matter what comes at me, no matter what I got to face, even though I'm in jail writing this letter, I'm still pressing. He said, I'm not going to waste my time complaining. But I press. Hold on. Look what he says. He says, I press to lay hold of, to grasp, and make it my own. This is what he said. He said, I see a me in front of me that I know that's where God wants me to be. So in order to capture it, I have to lean in and press and take hold of it. Y'all get that? Y'all get that? Randy, come get this towel from where you at. Man, sit right there and get this towel. Why do we think we can grow doing what we always been? Our prayer life gets us closer. Reading the word gets us closer. Praise gets you closer. Listen, pressing through the hard times. Listen to David being chased by army men that he trained. It's the 27th Psalm. He had an expectation on the table that was greater than the trouble. Did somebody hear that? You gotta seek God in your private time. You gotta spend some time with the Lord. You gotta ask the Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, I need to see what you have for me. You got to quit looking at people and look to the Lord. Oh, people would get you killed. People don't want you to grow more than them. They want you to stay right. If they stuck in the mud, they want you to be stuck in the mud. When you quit doing what they doing, they get an attitude and start talking about you. But I want you to know that God is calling you. God is calling you higher. You can't stay where you at and satisfy him. You can't let people stop you. I don't care who they are, what they are, what they have, because God got more than what they have. Oh, I'm in a fight. I'm in a fight for my life, my spiritual life. I'm in a fight. I'm pressing to grab hold of what you can't see. I'm pressing to know what you don't know. I'm pressing because he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Taste and see. Say that to your neighbor. Say it to yourself. Taste and see. Taste and see that my God is good. In trouble, he's good. In situation, he's good. When I'm lonely, he's good. No matter what it is, he is good. I had to exchange, and I'm still exchanging the crumbs of the devil for the goodness of the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And watch it. And I couldn't taste the goodness while I was chewing on crumbs. I don't even think it was edible. I'm not going to put another cap in my mouth. It was AstroTurf. But once you make up your mind, and as Jeremiah said, and you seek me with all, you know what God's saying? He said, I'm not going to let it come cheaply. Because if I give it to you without you giving your heart, you won't respect me. You take me for granted. You think you can just do anything, say anything, be any way, and you're going to get blessed. He says in Deuteronomy 28, he said, when you leave from me, you're going to start walking in noonday and be blind. He said that there's something that's going to happen when you get confused. He said you're going to start living in the curse instead of the blessing. Can I go here? Let me go. Can I go here? Peace is the blessing. Being in conscious fear and all that is the curse. When God start doing things for you, you go to the store, going to get what you want, and it's the last one in your size. That's favor. It's favor when a bill is paid and you know you didn't pay it, but they say it's paid. That's favor. It's favor when God just start opening doors, closing doors, making a way. When God start doing, mean folks are nice to you. You know, you and other, and they're nasty, everybody that comes to you. How you doing? That's favor. Watch this. As he keeps doing that, now as he's chasing, the devil's talking. People are acting. But if you keep focused, if you keep on praising him, you know, we have to learn to thank God when we don't think it's no reason to thank him for. It just hit me. It just hit me. Watch this. Gratefulness is for what he has done. Thankfulness is for what he's going to do. Is anybody grateful in the house? Is there anybody grateful in the house? Now watch this. Is there anybody thanking God because you have an expectation on the table? You got a promise on the table, and you want to say thank you ahead of time because based on what he has done, you're trusting him for the future. Hold on. I'm not going to let you have the towel yet. Has he been good to you?
He's been real good to me.
Has he brought you through?
He brought me through dangers both seen and also dangers unseen.
Has he done enough?
He's done enough for me.
More than enough.
Yes, sir. No turning back.
Huh?
No turning back.
Huh?
No turning back.
Okay.
Since, been good.
Since he has done that in the past,
yes, sir.
Can you trust him,
yes, sir,
for the future?
Yes,
is there a motivation, yes, for the, yes, future? Can you keep your eyes on him? Don't you cry sometimes?
Yes,
don't it hurt sometimes? Do you still trust him for what he's going to do? For what he promised,
yes,
you? Do you still,
yes,
praise him? Do you give him thanks,
yes,
goodness for what you don't got yet? Can you say thank you for this? Can you say thank you for this? Can you press your way through? Can you worship him? Because you know he's your everything. Can you keep your eyes every step of the way? Now hold on. Watch this. The closer you get, the harder it becomes. You know why? Satan wants you to let go of the trust you have before you get there. Every single time I got close to a promise, oh, hell broke loose. Look at Job, lost all his goods, lost all his children. If that wasn't good enough, because he worshiped, he bowed down and worshiped and said, naked was I in the world, naked shall I leave. He then struck him with sores and sickness. Then his wife said, won't you curse God and die? Then his friends came saying, you ain't all that good. You've been lying to us all the time. But he stayed there. He praised God. He worshiped God. He said, I'm going to worship you. I believe I'm going to see my Redeemer. He kept holding on. And as he pressed through the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the tears, the sickness, the love being talked about, it's getting harder. Keep pressing. What I decided to do is that the harder it gets, the more. Because you're trusting, because you press through, the promise that was on the table is now in your hand. That's what Paul is trying to get us to see. Don't wait till the battle over. Listen, shout on the fact you know his character. Shout on the fact you know his love. Shout on the fact you know what he has done. Shout on the fact that he is faithful. Shout on the fact that our God is good. Shout on the fact that he's with you. He walks with you. He talks to you. He'll walk you to sleep. Our God, our God, our God, our God, our God is a mighty God. No wonder Paul pressed his way through. Have you given up on God? Have you allowed the discouragement in life to steal your joy? To steal your peace? Life gets hard. People will let you down. But God, but God, God is trying to get us where we solely turn to him. And when you do that, you're going to find, oh, he's good. Oh, he loves you. That he does have the best intent for you. What's holding you back? Do you trust you better than you trust him? And whenever I get in doubt, I turn to the cross. And I recognize he did it for me. He did it for us. That's love. That's love. Those that are watching, it's Jesus. You're not going to find salvation and a relationship with God in no one else but the Lord. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him, say, I need you. I want you. And he will show up. I got deacons. I got ministers. They, if you come in, they will pray with you. They will touch with you. Because sometimes you just need that touch. That if you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we got those that will show you how to do that. You may be out of church and you want to come back to church. Come on. Let's do this. Amen. Listen, you can't be God-given. It's an exchange. He said, Lord, I'm letting go of this so I can catch hold of you. Help me. Because I don't have the strength. And the Lord said, all you need is to want to. And he'll give you the strength. If you're here today, come on. If you're here today, make your way up front. Those that are at home, you can call those numbers. And someone will call you back. Just to confirm with you. Hold somebody's hand. Father. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And you said that we come boldly into the throne of grace. So we come now. We come with our problems. We come with our issues. We come all dirty, but the blood covers us. And because of the blood, you say, come. Father, I don't know where your children are today, but I know that we stand in need of you. Lord, your mercy. Lord, your grace.